Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smash Mouth.
Cuts across, he scores!
This is the Preds Official Podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton.
That powerful move from back of the net.
On Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It's a holiday weekend. Thanks for joining us for hopefully your favorite podcast, the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And streaming right now on the Game Nashville app. For more about the show, to rate and subscribe, we ask you to go to NashvillePredators.com/podcast. For Brooks Bratton, I am Thomas Willis. The two of us work and write for NashvillePredators.com. Max Herz, our producer, for the second consecutive time under his now more official role.
He'll probably be here for the third consecutive time next week.
Probably, but then that's probably about it because it'll be time for us to get a new producer.
Sure.
But, I kid. But on a serious note to start, I mean, Memorial Day is a significant day to pause and remember and be grateful for those who have served to protect our great nation. So we did want to do that right off the top. And on a much less serious note, we hope that as things are starting to open back up again, hopefully you've been able to enjoy a barbecue or some time with family or, you know, safely and wearing a mask and all those things, of course. But again, a special weekend, and we appreciate you listening to us as well.
Maybe not as many parades this year. That's unfortunate. I love a good parade.
I've never gotten parades personally, but I've never.
Look at all
them
these
out.
People walk by.
Just don't get them.
Oh, I love them.
That doesn't surprise me. As far as what's on the show today,
just thank you to all those who have served and are continuing to serve. It's certainly not overlooked, even in these times. And those who have given the ultimate sacrifice as well, we certainly
appreciate it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think you and I both have had at least some member of our extended family serve. Specifically, I'm thinking of my mom's dad served in the Navy in World War II. So it's probably even tougher now in some ways to be able to serve in that capacity.
And we got some great veterans that work for our organization and some, plenty of you who listen as well. So thanks to everyone out there on that front.
Yeah, very much appreciated. Again, as I was saying on the show today, we are in the 10th full week of the pause to the NHL season, so 70 days at this rate. We are going to hear from Austin Watson later in this segment. We spoke to him, I guess, a few days ago, got his thoughts for the first time since the pause began on March the 12th. We're going to speak with Colton Sissons live coming up in our next segment. Because on Friday, May the 22nd, depending on when you were listening to this, that is the three-year anniversary of the Nashville Predators knocking off the Anaheim Ducks in six games of the Western Conference Final to advance to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in franchise history. You don't need me to tell you that Colton Sissons was the hero of that specific hockey game. So we'll reminisce a bit with him, but of course, you know, be able to catch up as well as he's been quarantining, and it appears as we're closer than ever, I guess we kind of have to be, to the return of hockey.
Yeah, we're not further away, I hope.
I don't know how that would make sense.
Sure. Well, so, and it's been kind of interesting these last couple of weeks. So we had gotten into a little bit of a period of stagnation, I feel like. There wasn't a whole lot new to report. And this week, I feel like even, you know, as close to breaking news as you can get on a podcast, I feel like we're starting to get a little bit of that. So full disclosure, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, May 21st. So even later tonight on this May 21st, as we record, Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic in front of the show reports that the NHL and the NHLPA are scheduled to have a call to discuss the potential return to play format, which this week has come out that it looks like the NHL and the NHLPA are working on a 24-team conference-based playoff setup. That reported by Pierre and fellow friend of the show, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. So all the insiders are really starting to get in on all of this. Elliot had a report come out on Wednesday night, and Pierre kind of saying the same thing on Thursday, that nothing is set in stone, but we're really starting to gain some traction as far as what this could look like. So here's the deal. If 24 teams participate, the thinking is the top four teams in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference would get a bye of sorts, at least from a playoff standpoint. They would probably end up playing each other to determine some sort of seeding. But as far as postseason play or the tournament, whatever that looks like, they would be exempt from that. That would then put, or pit rather, a bracket for the rest of the playoffs, right? So in both conferences, 5 versus 12, 6, 11, 7 versus 10, and 8 versus 9. That would mean, under this format, the Predators would play the Arizona Coyotes, who would be the 11th seed in the format. The winner would then play the 3 seed, possibly Vegas, but if they determined to seed things differently on that end, we would have to wait and see. So again, this depends on approval from both teams and players. It could come over the next few days. It could drag out a little bit longer. And Pierre LeBrun reported Thursday morning, the league is currently waiting to hear back from the NHLPA on the latest tweaks to that 24-team format. We expect talks to continue over the next few days, perhaps through the holiday weekend, leading into next week. So if you'll remember, we said we thought there was a good chance we would have some substantial news to report this week. I don't think we're there yet, but it certainly sounds like we're getting closer.
It seems as that the mentality has changed to say we should have more of our course of action ready to go so that when we get to the point where testing is appropriate, where it's safe to return, where the large enough groups are allowed to be together, that there is a course of action that's ready to go. I think earlier on in this process, the NHL was thinking, we've got time, we'll just wait, we'll see what the landscape's going to look like. They were really clinging to, and Gary Bettman, the commissioner, said this many times, wanted to play the regular season if at all possible. That just, again, continues to decrease in its likelihood. So that return to play committee is working on putting forth, okay, what would it actually look like? Now, whether that's next week or in 2 months, it's probably closer to 2 months, but at least we now know what it's, you know, potentially going to look like. I bet it passes, to be honest. I don't see that there's, you know, huge reasons for it not to. And even very recently, we spoke to Ryan Johansson of the Predators, who was saying, like, there's going to be people on both sides who aren't going to like it. It's not the quite the right way that you want it to be. But because of this play-in or whatever you want to call it, it's still going to effectively be the Stanley Cup playoffs, almost identical to it, because it will get down to 16 teams playing a best-of-seven series, again, we think. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, okay, the Stanley Cup Finals are best-of-three, which they wouldn't do. You know, it's all these people want to, you know, have an asterisk and be mad about it and all these sorts of things. To me, I think this is going to be the most difficult Stanley Cup to win maybe ever. Like, I'm actually fully the other way. Like, there are people who are saying, oh, it doesn't count as much. Like, there's a play-in, and it's weird, and other teams didn't get to be involved. Like, no. Like, every team's going to be healthy. Teams that had suffered players with what appeared to be season-ending injuries, I'm thinking of Vladimir Tarasenko, Dougie Hamilton, like, in theory, they will be back. Like, teams could be healthier than they've ever been going into a playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now you've added in the fact that if you are a Nashville Predators, for example, which, of course, we'll focus on, you have to now win another playoff round before winning the Stanley Cup against a team that, in theory, is pretty evenly matched with you, about in the same place as the standings, is equally as desperate. Like, you know, I think there's that narrative in hockey of, well, sometimes it's okay if you're the 7 or 8 seed because you'll catch the first or second seed off guard. That may still be the case, but now you will have had to have gotten through another equally desperate team who's trying to do the exact same thing. So I guess one other note, again, this could all change because it is a situation where a lot of times when the players and the league and all these you know, big parties are going back and forth, much like any contract negotiation, they'll say, hey, I'll do 7 of those 8 things, but in order to get me to do the 8th thing, you need to do this for me. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm sure there will be tweaks, but under this current structure, it's important to note as well that it's not really using the division-based format, meaning, you know, traditionally right now, the top spots go to those division winners, right? And so even if, for example, like the team in a central division that was in second place had more points than the team that's in first place in the Pacific, like they would still be the third overall seed, if you will, in a sense, right? Not necessarily the case anymore. Like, it's just you are the top 4 teams in the East. It's not just based on what if you're in the Metro or the Atlantic or the Central or the Pacific, something like that. So I think that's kind of interesting as well. I really don't know how the teams on bye playing each other will work per se, but again, to hear that it's going to be, in theory, 16 teams, best of 7, just like it always has been, and now you're just going to add in an ability to tune up and get ready for those games by also having them be meaningful by having teams play against each other, great. I'm all in. I don't see like who's going to have a huge, humongous issue with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting to hear Johansson say. And to me, he was one of the first players I've really heard say that, and not that a lot of guys have been asked because this changes daily, hourly at times, it seems. But he was really one of the first that I've heard to kind of acknowledge, yeah, we know it's not going to be perfect. Like,
sure.
And he was also saying to the effect, I don't really care what the format is. I just kind of want to play.
Yeah.
And I think that there's guys who feel more strongly than others about something like that. But when it comes down to it, the league is doing everything that they can to try to map this out and find a way to get this done. And it certainly sounds like we're on the path to doing that. So stay tuned in the days to come. Again, things can change so rapidly, as we've all come to know, not only on this subject, but with anything in this scenario. So stay tuned, and who knows what we'll have to talk about at this time next week. And someone else who we did hear from was Predators forward Austin Watson earlier in the week. He's optimistic with the direction the NHL and the NHLPA are heading as far as coming to a decision on a return-to-play plan. He was also asked about balancing the risk and reward of returning to the ice at some point this summer. Here's what he had to say on that topic.
You know, that is the question. The risk, balancing the risk reward, and sort of the obligation, that people like myself who are in a very good situation, being able to play pro sports for a living, that we have to the public. But, you know, first and foremost is the health and safety of myself and my family. It is for everybody in the world right now. But you see it in all walks of life, whether it's sports, whether it's retail business, restaurants, et cetera. Opening up of the economy has to happen here at some point, and it has to happen in a way that's safe for everybody. And we, as a league, as a players union, it's no different for us than anybody else in any other walk of life or any profession. We want to get back as quickly as possible within the parameters of all of us being safe. And when we come up with that, and when that opportunity presents itself, we'll do that. I don't believe that anybody, player management, league affiliation, is interested in putting anybody in harm's way, and we won't do that. So, I believe that our best interests personally are being looked after. And, when we can get back on the ice safely, we will.
I say that I think it could be the most difficult championship to win in hockey, and I think Watson's just outlined one more reason why. It's almost certainly going to mean separation from family in some capacity. There's likely going to be some kind of quarantine or daily testing. Like, it's going to be – there's going to be all that pressure as well. It's not even just, hey, get out there and only focus on hockey. None of us can only focus on hockey mm-hmm. anymore. And to further some of these reports, we've talked about the hub cities and no fans for a while now. All of that's continued. It's even continued perhaps to progress to the point that Las Vegas has really been tossed out as perhaps a really top option for some of this, because they have the ability to – they have the hotels, and they have the ability for multiple teams to be there. So not only are you asking all these players to return and again, trust the process and hope that it's going to be safe enough, but you're probably also asking them to just be in a hotel room and just play hockey for 2 months, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that only makes it more challenging, in my opinion, as well. I guess quickly, back to this like play-in thing, because we've talked about this so many times, like the Winnipeg Jets are the example I continually bring up, right? Where they're ahead of Nashville in the standings, but on points percentage, they're behind, so they wouldn't be in the playoffs and all that. That's what this is trying to fix. It's trying to concede, we're not going to get to 82 games in the regular season. So there needs to be some, measure to be able to determine who gets into that field of 16. And I don't have an issue with this right now. So if you're curious, and again, as Brooks has prefaced many times, this could all change in the next 10 minutes. But number 5, Edmonton versus number 12, Chicago. 6, Nashville versus 11, Arizona, as you said. 7, Vancouver versus 10, Minnesota. 8 versus Calgary, 8 Calgary versus 9 Winnipeg. So even Chicago potentially in the mix. So really reaching down far, that's where the 24 teams comes from. It reduces, of course, in half to let 8 more in to get to 16.
Will Patrick Kane and the Blackhawks knock off Connor McDavid and the Oilers? Sheesh. Stay tuned to find out. It could happen. We could be seeing it in the weeks and months to come. So yeah, as we've said, certainly stay tuned to everything. Things are changing, but again, it does sound like we are really starting to get some traction. And by the time we talk to you next week, we could at least, at the very least, have some sort of agreed on format to report on. So the speculation would then turn into present Coyotes. Let's get the previews ready. Right.
Never played before in franchise history. Yeah. I mean, here they all come. So yeah, we'll, again, continue to talk about that further. I'm sure we'll touch on that a bit with our guests coming up next in the next segment. That is Colton Sissons, National Predators forward. Of course, a hero roughly 3 years ago in the Western Conference Final in 2017.
And still a hero today.
Still a hero today, of course. He'll join us next here on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back to the program. Brooks Bratton and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. Pleased now to be joined on the line by number 10 of your Nashville Predators. Colton Sissons is kind enough to join us. Colton, I feel like every time we talk to someone during this pandemic, this pause, it's like a long lost reunion, at least over the phone. So how the heck are you?
I'm pretty good, man. All things considered, I've got nothing to really complain about here, besides missing hockey a little bit.
Just like all of us. Yeah, so how, I mean, in a way, it kind of feels like we were just flying back from Toronto, but in another way, it feels like a decade ago. But what have the last 10 weeks been like for you? Where are you? What have you been up to, and how have you been dealing with everything?
Yeah, I've been in Nashville. I decided to stay. Been at the house here, so I've had a few projects going on that I needed to do, is fill up some rooms with some furniture and stuff. So that has given me some tasks and some level of busyness over this whole thing, but I'm running out pretty quick here.
Well, if you've done one of these interviews before, you probably have this answer polished. So what's the TV show or the book or the new talent? I mean, Pekka learned to juggle, we know. So I mean, what have you filled these 10 weeks with? You better have a good answer here.
I mean, I've been bringing up the inner handyman in myself, so
okay.
putting furniture together, putting some pictures up, put my barbecue together, and I got a sauna coming, so I've got to build that sucker here.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
Well, maybe, so we talked to Ryan Ellis last week, and he said he too has become quite a handyman, so maybe that'll be a competition we'll have to have when everybody's back together.
Oh, I don't know if I want that.
Hey, if you can build something from IKEA which doesn't have any words, then you're ready to do anything. That's what I found.
Yeah, no, I don't touch IKEA.
that's probably pretty smart.
I made that mistake before.
Well, here we are. We're arriving at Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S., and there seems to be some traction being gained when it comes to a potential resumption of play plan as the NHL, the NHLPA continue to meet. How do you view the way that things are going right now, and how optimistic are you that we could see hockey at some point this summer?
I mean, it's about as optimistic as we could be right now. Obviously, there has been some traction lately, like you said, and some meetings, I guess, this week going on that they're trying to iron out the details of us getting back to playing and maybe one or two cities with a lot of teams there. So it's going to be interesting how it unfolds, but still some room ahead of us to figure out the safety and the testing and all those things on the health side of things.
I think when all of us visualize what that time will look like, I mean, we're all apprehensive about some things, we're excited about some things, but I mean, what comes to mind if I were to say, okay, hey, you're back on the ice in 2 weeks to start working out or to start practicing? Like what comes to mind?
A little bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
I hopefully I still got it, but it's been so long off Jays. But I mean, if we're, I would just hope that they have every last detail of safety for not only the players, but all the staff, all the reporters, all the broadcast people. There's so many people that are involved in this whole thing coming back to play. So I would hope that it's a wide-ranging safety issue and not just for the players.
We spoke with your teammate Ryan Johansson earlier, and he was saying that he doesn't really care what the format is. He kind of just wants to play. He realizes that maybe not every side is going to be 100% happy. How do you view that, and maybe what the format could look like, or is there much of a detail in your mind that matters more than the other?
Yeah, obviously there's been a few different scenarios talked about, and I'm really not sure what is the most likely or most reasonable, but yeah, I'm sure some teams won't be too happy about the decision, and others might be extremely happy getting into playoffs potentially. And we'll just have to see if we finish the regular season or not. That's a big factor in all of this, right? So I don't really care as long as we're playing. I'll go anywhere. I'll stay in a hotel. I'll do what I have to do to play and help our boys in playoffs.
We're speaking with Nashville Predators forward Colton Sissons on the Preds Official Podcast. You can hear it on ESPN 102.5 The Game or on nashvillepredators.com/podcast. Colton, it seemed that the team prior to March 12th, you'd won 6 out of 9. You were on a bit of a winning streak, and we've heard several of your teammates say over the last couple months that, you know, maybe there was more buy-in under head coach John Hines and his system and more confidence. Did you feel some of that? And if so, why? Like, why did you think that the locker room maybe was starting to get down the details a bit better under a new coach?
I mean, I definitely would agree with that. Certainly we were trending in the right direction and starting to string some wins together, which we had a difficult time doing throughout the season, obviously. So definitely guys were buying in and gaining some confidence. Our top end guys are starting to roll a little bit. Need that down the stretch, obviously. So we sure hope that we can continue off on that foot when we get back going here.
All right, Colton, let's go back to 2017. And May 22nd, 2017, specifically, Western Conference Final, Game 6, Preds and Ducks at Bridgestone Arena. We're here at the three-year anniversary. You have a hat trick in that game to help your team advance to the Stanley Cup Final. What do you remember most about that game when you look back on it? Because in the moment, it's jubilation, but we've still got a job to do here. But now that it's passed and you've had some time to maybe think and look back, what comes to mind when you look back at that moment in your career?
I mean, a lot of emotions, obviously. That was an overwhelming run in general. And, I mean, that night for our team and on the personal side of things was, I mean, just massive, massive moment in my career, and not sure I'll ever be able to top that one, to be honest. But yeah, just look back at that with such fond memories, and I think just sitting in the locker room after with all the management, all the coaches, and having our little speeches and just enjoying the moment. I think that was a pretty cool moment that we'll all remember for, I mean, hopefully the rest of our lives.
Colton, your career has only progressed since then. We're also coming up on roughly the one-year anniversary of you signing a 7-year contract to stay in Nashville. I'm curious. I mean, that just seems like such a big number, such a lengthy amount of time, especially in professional sports. I'm just curious how that came about, per se, and how you were like, you know, yes, I'm willing to almost potentially commit the rest of my career to being with one team.
Well, I'm going to play till I'm 40, so I'm
okay.
Hopefully I'll have extra contracts. But no, it was, you know, obviously it was a long process. The negotiations went on for, I mean, pretty much a year. So we were getting down to the nitty gritty and potential arbitration. And I mean, my stance was that I'll go if I have to, but if we can get something done, I would love to stay and stay on a longer term because they know how much I love it here. And really enjoy it, and I want to make really a long chunk of my life living in Nashville. That's how much I love it, so that's why I decided to do it. Basically, I thought it was fair and reasonable, and we decided to do the long term.
Colton, I know we miss all being at the rink and seeing each other, and it's easy to communicate in this day thanks to internet and cell phones and that sort of thing, but who do you miss, maybe a teammate or someone on the staff? Who do you miss seeing in person on a daily basis right now?
Within the organization?
Yeah, and anyone, teammate or staff member, anyone like that?
I'll give you one of each. I'll go, I miss seeing Bonesy. He's a good pal of mine. He's a funny dude. He makes me laugh. So I miss seeing him, and I miss seeing old Nick Marnowski, Barnyard. I miss that guy, too.
Oh, man. My goodness. Now, we got to make sure he listens to this podcast now. I'm not even sure that he does. Who can hear that?
For real. Well, Colton, you're in luck because I live across the parking lot from him, so I'll be sure to pass the message along.
There you go.
Send him a note.
Fair enough.
Carrier pigeon.
Let's conclude on this. We'll make you reminisce one more time. I think a lot of those 2017 games are being aired on TV right now, so it's kind of it's been a natural jumping off point to reflect and have moments. So when you look at it as a whole, like what comes to mind? I think so many of us, it's fans on Broadway, but it's just that energy. I remember even I was seeing a quote earlier this week where GM David Poyle said, even after the loss in the finals, he was like, I'm proud to be from Nashville. I'm proud to live there, just even to have experienced it because of what it meant as a whole. So I'm curious, if you had to put it, you know, in one big memory, what sticks out to you now, all these years removed?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just look back and think about the energy in the city, the commitment to supporting us by all the fans and all the people, not just in Nashville, all over Tennessee, really. It was just wild. Brooks posted that video earlier today of us coming back from Anaheim, I think it was. And I mean, it's got to be over 1,000 people there cheering us on and yelling and screaming. Like, that moment right there pretty much sums it up for me.
Yeah, the airport arrivals were pretty great. I'll say that for sure. That's something I'll never forget. Colton, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Stay healthy. Good luck with the sauna too, by the way. I'll be curious to hear how that goes.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be the most difficult task I'll face during this quarantine. So maybe I'll document it and we'll see how it goes.
There you go. And we'll have you back on and you can discuss the whole process and maybe teach some folks how to build a sauna while we're at it.
Yeah, there you go.
Deal. Well, thanks, Colton, for this. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you in person real soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Up next, we'll take an early look at what free agency could entail at some point. This is the Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It would be you,
only you. Preds official podcast, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It would be you. A song for quarantine, a song for today from future friend of show, Ben Rector. Still not a friend yet. I was just thinking in our first segment when you were listing off all our friends, I mean, Brett's official podcast should start a Facebook page. Like, he or she would have like 200 friends at this point.
Yeah. We got a lot of
friends. Because I was about to say, like, also friend of show, I was going to bring up a point from Brian Burke, because not to throw him under the bus, but he is one of the haters.
Yeah. Well,
you know, saying that maybe the 24-team tournament isn't legit.
Yeah.
But he's another friend of the show. Yeah, I mean, they're all out there.
If you've been on the show, you're a friend of the show. Even if you're Ben Rector and you haven't been on the show, you're still, in our minds, friend of the show. We got three new friends, Kevin, Chad, and Hayden, who Kevin reached out and was like, hi, after listening to the new POP and tagged his friends, we would all really like to be friends with us. And then he's like, we'll bring the Cheetos and the Goldfish. Like, okay, fine, deal. Where are we going?
He's saying it would be you. It would be us.
It would be us. It means a lot, Kevin.
It does mean a lot. Thanks for that. Week 10, we made friends.
Well, no, like I said, after 86 episodes, like, what made you, like, what was the spark? Why do you want to be friends now? He's like, oh, it was from the very beginning, but we're just shooting our shot now.
They just kind of went for it. You know, it reminds me of the famous Michael Scott quote when he's single and he's like, but I'm optimistic because each day I get a little bit more desperate. That's kind of what's happened right here. You know, like, we're just getting to the point of quarantine where you had someone ask if you were single last week, and now we're just
true.
Making new guy friends.
Yeah. I'm down.
Wow, why not?
Could always use a new friend.
Sure.
Three new friends of the show. Welcome, gentlemen.
there you go.
Welcome back to the POP.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into this segment too deep, wanted to mention a great initiative from Predators Ownership Group member and loyal Preds podcast listener.
Love it.
Brian Grain. Brian and his wife, Stephanie, and their three children, Isabel, William, and Patrick. They've partnered up with the Preds Foundation to distribute $300,000 over the next 3 years to Middle Tennessee nonprofits. Cottage Cove Urban Ministries and Harvest Hands Community Development Center will each receive $50,000 in funding as the first two beneficiaries. So we got to talk to them earlier in the week as well. Story on Preds.com, but great to talk to some folks from those organizations and the Grain family. And we hope you enjoy this podcast as well.
Yeah, that's very cool to hear. And then I guess one more on that note, the National Predators Foundation, empowered by Smile Direct Club, giving $50,000 to Putnam County and the Cookeville area. We've done so much for the Middle Tennessee and Nashville tornado relief efforts. Very cool to see them be able to extend that even further out into Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So even in the midst of these trying times, I think the Preds Foundation, credit to them and the whole organization as a whole for being able to, you know, go the extra mile and help some people out.
Still a lot of really good work done. And hello to our friends in Cookeville who are still cleaning up. All the best to you out there as well. We had some questions on free agency and what that could look like and who might be available. And we figured, you know what, that's too long to just talk about for a minute. So let's kind of dive in and talk about maybe some different scenarios that we could see whenever free agency ends up happening. Normally, it would be July 1. Probably not going to happen this time around. So we've talked about the Predators situation before. We know that Craig Smith and Mikhail Granlund are the big names up for the Preds. Colin Blackwell, Dan Hamhuis, Corbinian Holzer, Yannick Weber, Daniel Carr, and Freddie Gaudreau are also unrestricted for Nashville. The Preds have already signed Alex Carrier and Ben Harper for some potential depth on defense. Steven Santini is also still in the organization as well. Around the rest of the NHL, there are some big names. Taylor Hall, Alex Pietrangelo, Tyson Barrie, goaltenders Braden Holtby, Corey Crawford, Mike Hoffman, Tyler Toffoli, Torrey Krug, just to name a few. A decent chance that a lot of those might not even make it to market, but as of now, they would be unrestricted free agents. And I think the big thing on all of this is the salary cap.
Yeah,
because who knows? It's at $81.5 million now. Projections pointed to around maybe $84-85 for next season. But who knows now how the shutdown will affect those kinds of things. So as we look at kind of what free agency might maybe entail, one, what do you think? And two, I would say that the Preds, Matt Duchene was the big fish last year, wouldn't expect anything nearly that big this time around.
I'm not a Vegas odds maker, but it seems like the salary cap is far more likely to be closer to 81.5 than it is to be at 84. And for that, and to that end, Tyson Barrie, one of the potential UFAs you mentioned currently with the Toronto Maple Leafs after he was traded from the Colorado Avalanche, said, man, is it a weird time to be a free agent right now? And so even the UFAs who, because if you aren't that familiar with the rules, you got to be 27 years old before you, that's one of the qualifiers to be a UFA. So you've been an RFA, you've worked your way to potentially this big payday that you're hoping for, 5, 6, 7 year deal, get you deep into your 30s and then, you know, set you up financially for the rest of, you know, your life. And yet all of a sudden now you're like, well, shoot, why am I a free agent this year? You know, like how quickly that narrative has changed. Yeah, it's interesting for Taylor Hall as well because he was probably the biggest trade of the season. Who knows if we're seeing him in a potential 2014 format against the Preds. And there was even rumors that because the Coyotes underachieved after they got him, could he be traded again? Mm-hmm. And he's come out, and because he's been asked this question and said, like, I'm not in a place right now to decide. He was asked, would you do a one-year deal and just hope that it rebounds again and you have a good year and then get your 4, 5, 6, 7 year deal? And he's like, I don't even know. Like, no. The number is not even set at the cap right now. Of course, the Toronto media has already gotten rid of Tyson Barrie and has acquired Alex Pietrangelo in their minds in the Leafs' ever-present quest of making their defense actually competent. So we'll see on that. And then one of the other narratives you had that changed at the deadline was Corey Crawford or Robin Lehner when they both were in the Chicago crease. probably forgotten this, Robin Lehner went to the Vegas Golden Knights, actually, mm-hmm. to help Marc-Andre Fleury there, but he would be a UFA as well. So interesting to see how the goalies change, how quickly the Florida Panthers, for example, soured on their huge goalie acquisition last season when they got Sergei Bobrovsky on the absolutely massive deal. So it's interesting, personally, I think, when it comes to UFAs and goalies. You don't always see that measure of success, but certainly some good names on there. And the speculation is that the Blues might be more likely to let Pietrangelo go because they just got Falk from the Carolina Hurricanes. It's unlikely they could sign both. That's kind of the whole thing. If you're a fan of a team and you've got some pending UFAs and you've been convincing yourself this season, like, oh, we're definitely re-signing them, they'll take a discount, yeah. we're going to get both, all of that has to be reevaluated, because even if you did have enough at that 84 number, you might not anymore. And I know we've said that 100 times, but it looked like the Predators were going to be choosing Smith or Granlund, likely not both, at 84. It's probably even more likely that's the case now. And I can't sit here and say to you, it's Smith or it's Granlund. I think it's Smith, but I don't know. None of us know.
Yeah. Well, and even from, you know, if you pull the picture out, not only just from an unrestricted free agency standpoint, but just a July 1 standpoint, yeah. and typically, as is the case, July 1 is the start of the new calendar in hockey, the new fiscal year with anyone. Something that's been brought up on the 31 Thoughts podcast is there's a lot of teams with scouts who are up who need contracts, or there's coaches or general managers. There's a lot of people other than just players that something's going to have to be figured out in the next month or so to say, how are we doing this? How are these people, maybe their contracts are up on July or June 30th, because typically the draft happens by then and you're leading into free agency, but you've got to re-sign these different people in your organization too. How are a lot of hockey ops departments dealing with that sort of thing? That'll be something else to watch, and any sort of rules or regulations or extensions that come out to say, okay, yes, these, because if you're an unrestricted free agent, technically your contract ends June 30th. Right. July 1, you're free to do what you want to do.
Right.
And if you're not even starting to play on July 1, there's going to have to be some sort of rule with that. So that's maybe smaller than just determining, okay, how are we going to play? How are we going to do this? But it's certainly something that's going to have to be worked out.
It is. And I think that's perhaps why we've seen some acceleration and some advancement on, we need to know what we would come back to, what the situation would be like. Now, we don't need a D-Day of it's going to be at this point, but to your example, okay, we need to know, ideally it's happening in August, therefore all of these UFAs are extended through August the 31st, for example. And one other piece that's we've talked about on the last couple shows is the whole draft and the virtual draft and how that gets worked out. And I apologize, I'm blanking on the GM that said this recently. It'll probably occur to me in the fourth segment because that's my brain. But he was saying that all of this goes hand in hand, too, because the draft gets used so much as a chance to reset your roster, because you want to look at kind of what the Preds just did last year, in that they traded PK Subban, they got assets. He became more appealing because the Devils are sitting there and going, okay, yeah, we will give you a second-round pick. But you're far less likely to give up draft picks if you don't even know what's happening, or if the draft has already happened before that point. And the Preds, of course, were making the Subban move so that they could make the Duchesne move. So I think the free agency is all a part of that too. Like, you don't know, am I getting rid of this guy so that I have $5 million to sign that guy? It's gonna be
The more you talk about it kind of makes your head hurt. But yeah. it's certainly
all factors together.
Yep. It's all related, and it'll certainly be something fascinating to watch again in the weeks and the months to come. So we will certainly stay tuned on that. Something else that we'll stay tuned to are your Twitter questions. And we have a couple of those to get to in the next segment as we wrap things up here on the POP, the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment. Gosh, John Mayer, I mean, so groovy, jazzy, catchy.
What was the song he had on Instagram the other day where he was like, I'm on my boat?
Oh my gosh.
He just like makes stuff up.
Yeah, that was good. I
like to see creative genius like that, right? Where he can just, here's the rhyme I want to make, and I'm just going to write a whole song.
It's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
big John Mayer fan over there. And Thomas, as you know, I'm a big 1975 fan. Mm-hmm. New album is out this weekend, so give that a listen if you so fancy. Something else that continues this weekend, some Predators live streams as the virtual Stanley Cup playoffs roll along.
Yes. Yes, yes. The Preds are concluding their series with the St. Louis Blues. They're in the Western Conference Final right now, depending on when you listen to this. Game 6 is on Friday night. Game 7, if the Preds are able to push it to that, would be on Sunday night. And then some bigger and more exciting news coming if this good time is able to be rolled into the Stanley Cup Final.
Let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. We'll see. But that's coming in like a week or so. So you got some time on that.
All right. Stay tuned. And the Golden Classics continue as well. It's been great to relive.
Yes. Moving on to the Ducks series. Yes. So it's just kind of cool to see.
So the game that we just talked about with Colton, you can relive that in a couple weeks, I guess.
Yep. Tuesday, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. for the impending future. We'll make an adjustment to that a little later on. But yeah, it's the wins from the series. So the Blues have just wrapped up and now moving on to Anaheim.
Yes, indeed. Hashtag Preds Podcast on Twitter is the way to get in touch with us. We did have a couple of items come in. Austin said the probability that Nashville is chosen as a site when the NHL resumes with spectatorless play, ? I would say that Nashville, along with any NHL city who's in decent shape as far as the pandemic and cases and that sort of thing is concerned, is in the running. You mentioned earlier, we've heard Vegas mentioned as maybe a front runner. Edmonton, Vancouver, they're making hard pushes. We know that the Nashville Visitors Convention Bureau reports the last couple of days, they have let the Preds know that they would be interested as well. So there's lots of interest, but I mean, who knows what the league is really thinking at this point.
Right. And it's entirely possible that you could be a host city and the Eastern Conference teams could come here. Right. Sure. I mean, anything is possible. I think if you want to look at the positives, you're right. It's first that Nashville's progressing into phase two, like the COVID cases, like the numbers are pretty good, probably better than they have been in a while. The second is probably the hotels. It's its biggest attribute. Just, I mean, goodness, a new hotel pops up in Nashville every week. Watch out. You'll run into a hotel. And the third thing would be, and this is kind of the good and the bad thing that they probably do not have like some other cities do, that's the rinks and the NHL locker room. So now with Bellevue, Fordyce Center Bellevue, the Preds do have, what is it, 2, 4, 6, 7 NHL sheets of ice, like in a pretty good area. Mm-hmm. But if this 24 team thing comes to pass, well, then that's 12 teams all of a sudden you need to house in one. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, again, it changes all the time. I would certainly think that I agree with you. Nashville is a better location than some others, for sure.
Yeah, well, and that's something that Pierre LeBrun had mentioned as well, that it, for all of the talk of the 24-team tournament and how we think we're close with that, sources have also indicated to him we're not close whatsoever as far as a date as to when this would happen or as far as a city or cities as to where this would happen as well. So stay tuned on that. And I like this one. Trevor said, if you could run the TV broadcast for the Hub City games, what out-of-the-box idea would you want to try that you can't normally do with fans in the building?
Mm. So they talked about this on the 31 Thoughts podcast, I think last week. Elliot Friedman, Jeff Merrick, friends of show, of course, I know. Well, I would say a couple of things. So this isn't necessarily fans, but I would be super curious to have like just everything mic'd. And I know that you run into censoring and beeping at things out and all of that, but that would be cool just in the sense of like, again, with no fans, you don't even probably need players to be wearing mics. You probably could just set up 2 to 4 mics around the rink and get everything that's said. I mean, and have unprecedented behind the scenes access. That could be really cool.
Well, and like Pete Weber said last week, the conversation he had with Ryan Johansson, and Johansson said, Petey, I'm going to be able to hear everything you say. And Pete was like, Ryan, I'm going to be able to hear everything you say. Totally, so watch your language. Yeah, the miking and the audio as to how they would do things in an empty building would be fascinating. I would love to see some different camera angles. There's only so with tens of thousands of fans and buildings, there's only so many places you can put cameras.
That's a good point.
So, you know, put cameras somewhere in the lower bowl that you've never been able to. Put a camera right behind the bench. You can have a camera between the benches if there's a slot there.
Yep.
But put one right behind the bench. Yep. That could provide for some fascinating angles.
Nashville, a good specific example. They have the spot between the benches. Again, not going to be a person there now. I mean, can you put a camera there? Could you put something there? On the 31 thought.
A sky cam of sorts. There's been talk of
that. Let's make me nauseous. I'm old-fashioned. But
sure. Yeah. No, a motion sickness city over here, too. But do you raise the scoreboard up? Is there something that can kind of float around the ice?
So a couple things that have been floated out is that the NHL will have some level of goal of making it feel as much like a game that they can, right? Which is, so that would mean like the scoreboard's probably involved. There probably still is music between the breaks because they want the players to be comfortable as well. So Steve Mayer, who's an NHL executive, was saying in a recent interview on The Athletic that his team is visualizing it almost like an outdoor game. So meaning the Preds, of course, were just in the NHL Winter Classic. You know, there's the farm animals in the one corner. I'm not saying that specifically, but you know, there's the band and there's the other things around the rink that, again, to your point, well, the lower bowl is normally housing fans. Well, now it can house house other things. On 31 Thoughts, they're talking about like more music involved. Like, I don't think you'd do it during play like the NBA, but hey, it's an option. And then the other thing that Steve Mayer was saying is that with the likelihood that you're playing three consecutive games in a day, four consecutive games, everything's going to be different. It's not as if they're going to come out and be like, you know what? We know exactly how to operate this situation. Each game will have this format, this standard, this will happen. No, he was saying like game two could look entirely different from game four. So that'll be interesting to see. And my hope for all of this, and I think we all have this, is that we're all learning something from it. That out of this, hey, you know, we never would have tried that, but this all of a sudden feels like something we can't live without when it comes to watching sports. So let's continue it forward.
Something I would like to see that has been done mostly in Canada, I don't really think it's been done in America on NBC or anything like that, is referee cam. I would watch
on the head
an entire feed. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know if you've
those helmets are hilarious.
If you've seen it, but the angle's fascinating. It literally is a helmet with a camera embedded that the referee wears. And Sportsnet has done it in Canada, and they don't use it the whole time, but they'll go to a replay, and it's fascinating to see what the referee sees when the play is coming toward the net. Again, I know I'm a referee nerd, but I would watch the entire game just on that.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what this is like, but the thought is there's probably going to be an attempt to allow more access than we've ever had before. And I'm even visualizing, okay, let's say you're able to get 10 cameras. And maybe that's it. You know, maybe you're not able to get as many in the past because, again, just operators and crowd size and all of that. But what if any of those 10 were accessible online by a fan, right? If I want to just watch the goal cam for 2 hours, I can't, you know? And then that's where I think, okay, like you said, there's this new angle from the corner in the lower bowl that's normally a seat that's just like it shows a power play better than I've ever seen before. Great. Does that continue into the 2021 season? Something like that. That's what I'd want to see come out of this overall.
All I need is ref cam.
That's all you've ever needed, Brooks.
You want to take us home this time?
Sure. I'd love to. For Brooks Bratton, follow him on Twitter at Brooks Bratton. He's the very same on Instagram. I am at Tom A. Willis on Twitter. Make sure you're following at Preds NHL to see the top and best Preds content first. It's a lot of fun over there on social media. Hey, follow them on Twitch as well. Just shy of 1,000 followers. We're nearly there.
We'll get there.
Thanks for listening to the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5. The game, again, nationalpredators.com/podcast is the place to go for more. Thanks to Colton Sissons for chatting. Thanks for what he did 3 years ago to send the Preds to the Stanley Cup Final. Please give us a rating, a subscription on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you listen. Have a lovely Memorial Day weekend.
Happy Memorial Day.